It's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Today, we don't have a Mother's Day message, but we do have an everyday message for everybody. Amen. And what we're going to talk about today is, what are the odds that we can live a successful, fulfilled life on this earth without including or depending on God? Of course, as usual, Sheila walked all over it in there. I don't know why I even go with her back in the fellowship hall. Talk and talk. I said, well, why don't you just get up and give the message? What are the odds of making it through your tests, your trials, your tribulations without totally depending on God for your victory? Can you handle this life all alone without God's help? Will you be able to acquire your goals in life, meet your day-to-day expectations, dodge the bullets and arrows that we encounter on a day-to-day basis? What's the likelihood that you will have the strength, the wisdom, the power to meet every challenge all by yourself? Believing that you won't need God's intervention at some point in time in your life. Life without God's stamp of approval has very little worth, very little meaning, very little purpose or hope. Our worth comes only from God. Life without God's intervention is just merely existing. Are you sure that you can make it without God's day-to-day help, his intervention in your life? Our search for contentment, peace, hope, and fulfillment will only come from God. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When you come to the conclusion that you can make it in this life all by yourself, you relinquish your access to the best things that life has to offer. The best in life only comes from allowing God to be your core, meaning that part of you that's central or necessary to your existence. Truly, life without God at the head is mere existence, usually it's a day-to-day struggle with unexpected changes, and of course, unexpected challenges that quite often lead to a bump in the road. Certainly, I'm not saying that with a true dependence and relationship with God, you won't have tests and trials, but with trusting God comes a guarantee that he will give you the strength, the insight, and the wisdom to come through victoriously, unscathed. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. We often rush into situations with our plans that we've given no thought to, or we take someone else's opinion or advice as to how to rectify our situations. Amen. If we desire access to the best course of action, we need to put our trust and hope totally in God. A lyricist by the name of Edwin Mote once wrote a hymn that most of you older people might be familiar with, and a segment of the hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Are you really convinced that you're able to make it without God's assistance in your life? So often we say we trust God, but do we really trust him, or do we just talk a good game? Life without God's daily welcomed intervention and help provides little to no joy or enduring strength or peace. And Nehemiah 8:10, he tells us, the people to go their way, enjoy, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and give portions to anyone that's without. Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. If we take hold of God's joy in the midst of trials, with it comes great power. We must thank God in the midst of difficult or adverse situations in order that he can fill us with his joy and his peace. On Monday nights, when we're in praise and worship during Bible study, the segment of our service when we're singing to God and praising God, Pastor Tony is on that front row, He often breaks out with this hymn, "The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." All of a sudden, he starts to mop, his head goes like this, you know, and you can tell how real those words are to him, because by the time he gets to the first few stanzas, he's all into it. First the head goes rocking from side to side, then the shoulders join in, and they start to dancing. And I sense that the feet are moving in sync with the body. Joy does not, or shall I say true joy, does not come from the world or the things of the world. It comes from a heart of love and gratitude to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that until you turn things over to God in order that he can intervene in your affairs, you rarely get the best possible outcome? You are never truly satisfied without including God. What the world has to offer brings very little real satisfaction. You may get some dribbles, some bits and pieces, but true contentment, you won't get that, because those things are so temporal. Even the world knows that there's no real satisfaction in the worldly realm of living. God can be so real. I was thinking about how real satisfaction in my life didn't exist until I began to know and understand God's ways. Amen. So as I was sitting, you know, working on this message that he gave me, he brought to my mind a message, a song from back in the day that was released somewhere in 1965. It was catchy, some parts were silly, but the message was so real. It says, "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. 'Cause I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no." Hey, hey, hey. And, you know, and I had never heard those verses. That's the only part that I kind of knew, because, like I said, it was catchy. But they went on to say in the verse of the song, "When I'm driving in my car, when a man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information that's supposed to fire my imagination." He said later on in the song, "Can't you see I'm on a losing streak? That's why I say I can't get no satisfaction. Hey, hey, hey." Then that song was produced by the Rolling Stones. And even the world knows that true satisfaction cannot be found in earthly things. Hallelujah. Now, how real is this? The title of the album was "Out of Our Heads." Are you sure you can make it apart from God, or are you out of your head? You may be saved, accepted Jesus as personal Savior, confess that he's the Son of God, making him Lord of your life. But if you're not trusting him to intervene on your behalf, you are missing out on some of the benefits of your confession. You're missing out on the cookies and cream, the Trey Lex cake. That's Renee's stuff there. I like the creme brulee. When you don't take advantage of the perks of trusting God, you're missing out on a whole lot of blessings. Amen. And trusting God on a day-to-day basis, you are going to recognize as he reveals to you your purpose, your worth, and the plans that he has for you. Your life is meaningless if you don't know what you were born to do in this life. There will be little peace, little life without God's direction. In Philippians 4, 6, 7, it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 26, 3 reads, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Nothing that this world offers pertaining to life provides any lasting joy or peace. Food is essential for life. Food, for the most part, is enjoyable. However, it will provide no lasting joy or peace. Food can sometimes be too spicy, too rich, too sweet. And if we consume too much, it can be too harmful. You may have access to the finest restaurants or be able to cook up the most succulent meals, But soon they become boring, unappealing, and you lose your taste and desire for them. The finest dishes cannot take the place of God's presence in your life. When God becomes your go-to for instruction, you can ask him if the food at restaurant X or restaurant Z is suitable for consumption. Today, on most occasions, if I want to try out a new restaurant or someone recommends a place and I need to make a decision as to where to go, God is my instructor. I rarely just jump up and say, oh, let's go over here, Rick, or let's go over there. I kind of think about it because, you know, as well as I know, you may go there today and have a good meal, and you go the next time, it's horrible. It's garbage. It all depends on who's cooking and what's going on in the kitchen. But if you take time and ask God about it, that's your source of information, and that's the beauty of developing a relationship with God. You know, he will answer you just like that. I've gone places where I thought maybe he didn't know what he was talking about, and I was not happy with the meal. And, of course, he let me know. I told you not to go there. Mm-hmm. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who hopes in him. The taste of God that we need is the taste that we get when we grab hold of that word, chew on it, believe it, and meditate on it. Just taking it in, tasting God's goodness in your life every single day, enjoying every morsel of life that God has blessed you with. Psalm 119:103 says, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey is sweet, and it nourishes, but so is God's word. Amen. God's word brings a sweetness to our lives that cannot be matched by anything or anybody on this earth. The finest clothing or attire will not bring lasting joy to your life. You've got a few extra dollars. Decide that you're going for designer threads this time. Not going to Marshall's, not going to JCPenney's, not going to TJ Maxx, or even Belk. This time around, I'm purchasing Dior, Michael Kors, Prada, or maybe Hermes. You take your little bonus or your tax refund and make your long-awaited designer purchase. Then you may decide, I think I'm going to dinner, you know, because after all, I'm looking pretty good today. You go to a nice restaurant, you make your entrance with your designer clothing, and you eventually, you're seated and served, or served and seated. What just happened? Oops, is that steak sauce? Did you just waste your coffee? You just ruined that white designer dress that you bought with your tithe money. You left the restaurant disappointed by the stain that may not come out. And to add insult to injury, you stepped in a hole and tore the leather off those red bottom shoes. My husband used to say, he would sit there and watch me eat because I was always wasting stuff. And he would look at me. He said, do you have a hole in your lip? You know, your food is here. And then he'd go, you're just like your dad. And I told him, leave my dad alone before I call him on you. He up there, but he'll come to me. Mm-hmm. You see, clothing has a short-lived moment of happiness or joy. Clothing won't do it. It stains, it shrinks, it gets old, it rips, it stretches, and it becomes unattractive. The best attire cannot cause you to remain joyful or provide any hope or lasting fulfillment. In Matthew 6:28, God tells us, why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet I say to you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father know that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. By no means am I against purchasing nice clothes or purchasing things that you desire and have worked to afford. The point I'm making here is that none of these things are capable of providing for you any lasting peace, joy, or hope. These things have no power to sustain your contentment apart from God. Being happy or pleased with the ability to go high end will have a short-lived margin of satisfaction. Today, you may be parading in your office or your workplace, dressed to the nines, and tomorrow that same garment is back in the back of the closet, tossed aside, in the Goodwill bag, or handed down to a friend. I confess. You know, I look sometimes on my phone. Belk sends in information all of the time. So I'm going all through, and I hit dresses and go through. Saw this dress. It was a nice-looking dress. I mean, really pretty. I mean, it had a design on it, and it had a nice border on it. And I said, oh, Daddy, can I get that dress? He said, no. So anyway, the next day, they had marked it down some the next week or so because they know what you're looking at, so they started playing with the numbers. Can I have it now? It's a lot cheaper now. No. So finally, one day, they marked it way down. And I didn't ask them because I said, I know I can have it now. So anyway, lo and behold, I was excited waiting for that dress. Man, that dress came, and I put that thing, it was the ugliest thing I ever seen on me. That thing was long, and I don't care for long, long stuff. Man, if this is a dress that's intended to be long, that's okay. That joker hit about right here, and the pretty design had an elastic, and I pulled it up that way, it didn't work. Pulled it down that way, it didn't work. He said, I told you. He knew that it would not work for me. That's why he kept telling me. But I mean, it's hanging on that closet. I ain't going to wear it. And it's sitting there on there as a reminder, never to do that again. I said, this thing don't look like on me like it did on her. And I said, my goodness. This is... And it was still pretty, but it was so ugly on me. I was like, okay, I get the message. So, yeah, that's my reminder. I got it hanging right there to look at and roll my eyes at every time I pass by there. Nothing apart from God's counsel, his intervention or instructions and directions in your life will provide any lasting peace, joy, happiness, or hope in our lives. The finest of clothing will not do it. Let's talk about automobiles. Owning the finest of automobiles won't keep you happy, won't keep you content, won't maintain your peace. They may be pretty to look at. They may ride really good. They may be comfortable. They may even handle well, turn on a dime. But if you think for 1 minute that that smile on your face when you leave that place will be able to keep your contentment or keep your peace, you just wait. Wait for the insurance bill when it comes. Wait for the state tax bill. How about finding out that it only runs on high-octane fuel? What the 10,000-mile checkup is due and the dealership is counting your dollars, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Maybe the deer on the highway decides that he wants to challenge your car's resilience or your skill to maneuver or duck him. And I'm telling you, the best of drivers sometimes can't dodge that deer. Have you ever had your car repaired after a fender bender and you're not happy with the repair work? Maybe the paint doesn't match the paint that was on the car initially. I had a Buick Riviera one time, and surely a little boy, I was about, I guess probably about an eighth of a mile from home, and it was raining. A guy came around that curve, young boy, he was rushing to get to work apparently, and ran smack head on into me. I had Eric in the car. And it was so funny because I just knew I was dead. I got to screaming. He started screaming. And I'm like, why are you screaming? He said, because you're screaming. He was a little old fella. All I had was a broken fingernail. The boy had a concussion. They had to rush him to the hospital. And Pastor Ann had told me that she had seen it in a dream. And she saw the Lord just holding me in his hands. And I told her what had happened. She said, I saw that last night, and I prayed. And so that's why it's so important, you know, to have God and to know God and to even be at a point where any given time, you know, he said, get up and pray. You can do that. But you can't do these things if you don't have a relationship because you won't even hear him talking to you. She had the same situation that happened. She was on the way home from DuPont in the night, and she said it was snowing. She couldn't see a thing, which is normal. But she said she couldn't see anything. And she said all of a sudden, she said this guy came through, and she said she knew that it hit that car. But she said when it scraped through, it was like snow. It was like cotton. Nothing ever happened. And I'd seen that Lord had said that night, get up and pray for Ann. I said, why? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. But lo and behold, she said, I knew somebody was praying. She said, because we should have had a terrible wreck. But she said when the cars hit, it was like cotton, and there was no damage at all. No damage at all. Like I said, with the cars, they may be pretty, you know, but a lot of things come. Wait until the insurance bill comes. Wait until you get your state tax bill. How about finding out that it burns octane, high octane fuel only? You know, because there's a big difference in the regular and the super. A big difference dollar-wise as well. What about the repair work? You know, there's so many things that come with that, but what I'm saying is that you got to have God, you got to have his wisdom, you got to be at a point that you can hear him to tell you, you know, the things that you need to know. Maybe he'll say, don't you buy that car, you know? Right. Sometimes you may find out too late. And then there are other times when he has to drag you out to make you do something. But it all goes back to relationship and God's timing and everything. These little bumps in the road of life can drain that excitement out of your face. Just like B.B. King says, the thrill is gone. Money won't do it. Money provides many things, but it will never, never take the place of having a true relationship with God in your life. Nothing in this world will bring you lasting joy, peace, or hope apart from God. God has to be your number one go-to, your source for everything. Amen. Without God's ever-present intervention in your life, your chances or the odds of living the best life you could are slim or possibly next to none. There will always, always be an emptiness when you try to fulfill your life with things to make you happy, to give you hope, joy, or peace. Apart from God, it just won't work. Nothing takes the place of God in your life. There's a psalmist that penned the words, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God and he will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood, get right with God. Now back to this money thing. You may say I have enough money to make anything happen in my life or work out that I need or that I'm confronted with. You may say to me, go to your Bible and look at Ecclesiastes 10:19, which tells me money answers all things. Let's get some clarification here. Not all problems can be fixed with or by money. It's true that money can purchase practically anything tangible. Money can buy bribes. It can put hits on people. It can buy positions of power. The proper use of money can produce many positive results in people's lives. We know that money cannot buy you peace. It cannot buy lasting joy, hope, or happiness. Money cannot buy love, or I should say it can't buy true love. Money can buy legal services, but it can't buy you a guarantee of a positive outcome. You still might go to jail. It can buy some health services, but it can't guarantee you extended life. Many say money gives them peace, but how many people do you know or have heard of that have been destroyed by their money? They have no peace because they're constantly focused on being scammed or losing their money. Many millionaires or billionaires are some of the saddest, most bitter, lonely, hopeless people on this earth. Life without God has very little worth, purpose, or hope. Our hope, our peace, our worth, and access to the greatest love on earth is given to us by our Father in heaven. Nothing could ever separate us from God's unconditional love, and we don't need money to acquire it. It's free. I refer back to my title, what are the odds that we can live a successful, fulfilled life on this earth without including or depending on God? Having a home or homes won't do it. Without God's ever-present existence in your everyday walk, you won't be truly happy in your home. Why? Because true contentment, peace, and satisfaction in our homes only comes from God in our hearts and in our homes. I had a bumper sticker years ago on my car that said, no peace, no Jesus. But if you K-N-O-W, peace, no Jesus, then you'll know peace. And the people in the office gave me a lot of flack about it. They laughed at it. But I tell you that I bet some of those have had situations that come up in their lives that God brought those words of that bumper sticker back to them, to their remembrance. Homes come with a cost greater than just a monthly payment. Without God's intervention of peace and supernatural provision and a good paying job, you may be in for a few rude awakenings. Those awakenings come when taxes must be paid on the property, you got plumbing issues, appliances break down, when you encounter job layoffs, the car needs repair, doctor's bills appear, school loans due, grocery and gas increases. When these things bombard your household, if you are not depending on God and His wisdom to pull you through, you become one who flew over the cuckoo's nest. Knowing that God has your back provides reassurance that everything's going to be all right. He will show you, give you wisdom to be able to live in your home peacefully. Without God's wisdom and counsel, your home will not provide the reassurance of peace, happiness, hope, or lasting joy. It is impossible to make it without God's presence in your life. If you're not constantly connected or tapped into God and He's abiding in you, there will be many downfalls and pitfalls in your life. There's a real downside of not constantly being dependent on God, and let's look at a few. Your ability to make clear decisions may be hindered. Your decisions, apart from God's intervention, sometimes take us down the wrong road. We tend to worry about things that we cannot control. We're constantly being deceived by the enemy. We sometimes have no hope of a better life. Everything takes your peace. You walk in fear. You really have true joy. You're constantly dealing with anxiety and depression, always in the mindset of lack, constantly wondering about eternity, broken relationships, meltdowns, walking around in circles, confusion, family separations, plagued by lack of finances or resources. Just what are the odds of making it in this life without God? Your chances or the odds of living your best life could be slim or next to none. We are just basically existing by a thread of hope without inviting God to intervene or take control of our lives. Now let's look at some of the things that we can depend on for, with God, and we can trust Him for. In God and with God, there will be no missing links in our lives. In God, there is no failure. He blesses us day by day, even when we don't even know that we're blessed. He instructs, He corrects, He comforts us. He never leads us down the wrong road if we listen. He strengthens us. He heals us. He delivers us. He's always on time and available to talk 24/7. He gives peace and sweet sleep. He never disappoints. He's our shelter from storms and trouble. He always gives us the victory. When we call, He always answers and shows us great and mighty things that we know not. He's our best friend, the best friend you could ever have. He will never desert you or leave you alone. He only wants the best for you. He gives you hope and makes good promises to you. He's our protector. He fights our battles if we stand still. He orders our steps day by day if we allow Him to. With God, you will always be on the winning side. When He's for you, it's more than the whole world against you. If you find yourself in an emergency situation, He's on the scene and has already reversed your plight even before the rescue gets there. We need to know and remember that God is our everything, and we cannot make it in this life, this earthly life, without His guidance. The key to making it in this life can only be released through God's divine intervention in our lives. We must follow and apply His word and instructions to our lives daily. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Proverbs 3:5 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." God is our one-stop shop for every provision of every shape and kind in our lives. If you are a believer, you need to know and appreciate, and most importantly, trust God in every situation. Take full advantage of God's provision, His wisdom, His day-to-day instructions for your life. Why would we risk trying to successfully make this journey without God when life is and can be so much easier with His direction, His wisdom, and His care? Tell me, what are the odds of making it? through this life unscathed without God's intervention and care. Life without God's involvement has very little worth, purpose, happiness, or hope. Amen. Wait a minute, I got to do the backside. Just kidding. Okay, ready? Well, I guess we'll have offering next, right? Oh, you ready? We're going to take up the offering. Prayer. Okay.
Anybody need prayer?
Okay, anybody need prayer? I don't think so.